Psalms number 218. 218.
Good to see you out tonight. So good how you support the congregation here in Randolph County. Don't know if it's anywhere in the world like this. I don't know of any place. I know the places I go sometimes, I got a lot of congregations close, but I don't know if they're any better to support each other than y'all are. And that's wonderful. It's your credit. Must this. You ever said something, I must have that? I must go there. I must do that. How many of us have a must list? A lot of things in life that now we must have. We must have air to sustain physical life. We must have water. We must have food. We need shelter. But you know what Jesus said on one occasion? Having food and raiment, let us be therewith. What did he say? Discontent. That might be what we would be, wouldn't it? If all we had was food and clothing, we might be very discontent. But he said, let us be therewith content, having food and raiment. You know, one of the happiest days of my life was when I was a child, going to my cousin's house. And my cousin lived in the country. And guess what they didn't have? They didn't have running water. They didn't have air conditioning. You know, you're surprised? I don't know if they even had a fan. They lived out on a dirt road, on a farm. And like I said, I think back to those memories of that. And some of the happiest days of my life was there. In that house. But you know, how would you like to go back that like that today? How would you like to build a new house? And you build a new house and tell your wife, man, we're not going to have running water. Excuse me? We're not going to have a hot water heater. You're not going to have air conditioning? No. We're not going to have central heat either. We got a lot of things on our mess list, don't we? You know, we must have a new dress at Easter. Isn't that right? You know, testify if you were going to a wedding this weekend and this weekend and you had to wear the same dress. Well, that just simply would be against the law, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be shame. That would be so shameful if you got to wear the same dress to two different weddings where somebody would see you there. And they remember, oh, you wore that dress last week, didn't you? Oh, your face would be red, wouldn't it? Sometimes our parts are not what they should be, are they? Would you not agree with that? But what we say we must have, and what did Jesus say? Having food and what? Raiment. Let us be there with content. Paul said it, I know. Paul told him to that, but our Lord said it, really, by him saying it. But what was on Jesus' list of prophets? Did you ever think about that? You know many times what our cost is? If you belong to this club, you belong to the LSC club, we're going to call it. Many times that determines our cost is. What looks good on me? What is the style? Is that not true? When you go to buy a new car, well, what is the style to buy? And we look for convenience. Don't we? Just like I told you about the hot water heat, about the central air, central heat. What looks good, what is the style, and what is convenient. And that pretty well sums up in many ways out of much less, doesn't it? Would you not agree with that? The next time you say this word, the next time you say, this is something I must have, ask yourself that. Is this something I really must have? I know you got to have air. You read about children being playing hide and seek and getting locked up in a refrigerator. And they die for lack of air. It's so sad. And we know we've got to have that. We don't want to go so long without food, but we don't want to go so long this and that without water. So we've got the things that we must have. But friends, the truth of the matter is, we must have God. And it's sad to think about how many people, the one thing in life that means more than anything else in life, has been completely left out of their lives. Parents are not giving God to their children. They're not giving their children a heart for God. And their children grow up to wear designer clothes, to drive Corvettes, to go out with parties, to drink, or whatever else comes into this life, whatever else they can find to do in this life. And they feel like they must be a part of the crowd because it is a style. It is convenient. And they look better. You know, you just look better when you got a tan, don't you? That's so important, isn't it? Is that right? You must have, you know, something like that. You must have a tan. Is that right? Isn't that safe? Isn't it something? What we've gotten to in our life are things that we feel like we must have. And the truth of the matter is, things is very few of them that we must have. Let's compare tonight notes. And let's compare tonight what was on Jesus' list of his must-haves. It's hard for me to read the second chapter. And let's read here an interesting story about our Lord when he was very young. And he got lost from his parents. Luke 2, and begin at verse 40. And it says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem at the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. So you get the picture. He stayed there in Jerusalem. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Now, let's stop here. Mary and Joseph both had to know that he was a special child. She was a virgin when he was born, my friend. And she knew. And Joseph knew. And so he asked this question, How is it that you sought me? And he went on to say, Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? Well, what was his business? What is God's business? Are you a part of God's business? What business is the church in? You say, well, now, preacher, I never thought about it being in a business. Is this a business? Is this some kind of business? It is. What business are we in, by the way? Well, you know, we want to be comfortable. You know, that's why we got these padded benches in here. And that's why we got air conditioning here. That's why we come in, we don't sit outside on the ground. We want to be comfortable. Is that right? What business are we in? Saving souls, aren't we? Very, very serious business. Do you know anything else more serious than this? And sometimes we think we must have. Like I said about we must have a new dress or a new suit. They said, you know, we think we must have that. And so we go to church, I guess, once a year. See what we got on and whatever else is got on, you know. But Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business. And that was number one of importance to him. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight. I want you to be very, very honest with yourself. Are you about your Father's business? Where were you last Lord's Day? Well, you know, you gotta work. You gotta work. Didn't feel real good. Stayed home. But you're able to go to work. But you know, there's someone down in the church that seems to just kind of fall in second, third, and fourth place, doesn't it? Is that not true? I must be about my Father's business. Why did you look for me? Jesus came here for a purpose. He came here to die. He told Peter upon this rock, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against him. If his will begins to saving souls, and whoever one time lose that thought and that knowledge and that desire, friends, we're on the wrong road. Let me tell you, we are. We're not here to settle in. We're not here to be comfortable. That's right. We are here to preach the word, to spread the good news about Jesus Christ, to be an example, that we might encourage others to live for Him. I want to read you something. I read the newspaper just last week. The U.S. may have the largest prison population in the world. One out of every, listen to this, one out of every 142 Americans is locked up. China has 30% fewer total prisoners than the United States. The U.S. prison population per capita is 3 times higher than Iran, 5 times higher than Tanzania, and 7 times higher than that of Germany. From 1980 to 2000, the number of inmates grew by 312%. Some states now have prisons in almost one-third of their counties. Listen to this one. Now, this just blew my mind, this one, last one. In 1923, listen to this, there were only 61 prisons in the entire United States. There were only 61 prisons in the whole United States in 1923. And I look, how many we have? 312% in the last, in 20 years, the prison population has grown. Because you think we don't need the Lord? You think you don't need to be there with your children and teaching your children and being an example yourself? And bringing about your Father's business, do you think we don't need the Lord? Man, if you can't see that, you can't see through a barbed wire fence. You know what? We all see that. Don't we? Sure we do. And things we've got to remember that, Paul. We've got to remember we've got to be about our Father's business. And Jesus knew that. He said, I must be about it. And I feel a great urgency. And I hope we all feel a great urgency. And you showed tonight by coming out, supporting the meeting here. I pray and hope that you'll come back every night. Not just here, but the other meetings. Lord willing, the rest of the year here in Randolph County. And also, of course, Ephesus. We called it Randolph County, but it's not. But we both care about our Father's business. And Jesus knew that. And we must do it. Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together as the man of some is. You get time to come in, well, I'll tell them, make yourself at home, be back after a while. Love to have you go with us to church, sir. Do you read your Bible? Do you study your Bible? We have time for all kind of things on the blessed list. don't we? But have we got time to be about our Father's business? Enough for preaching. In Luke 4 and 33, Jesus was in the city of Capernaum. And he said here in 43, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Now what was here, they wanted him to stay there. And I can relate to this. If Jesus came here to be with us, he told me, so I need to go to wherever, I would do what I could to keep him here. I dare say wherever one of us would. Says, no, we want you to stay with us. We don't want you to leave. Well, we could understand, him having to go somewhere else, but we want him to stay here. And so he said to the people there, when they wanted him to stay, verse 43 says, they sought him and came to him and saved him that he should not depart from them. He says, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. He felt the great need of preaching. Do you preach? You say, well, no, man. I mean, publicly or privately. What kind of example is your life? What's that old saying? I'd rather hear a sermon any day than hear a sermon. More is taught than taught. What kind of preacher are you? Well, what kind are you? Does somebody see in you Jesus Christ? Remember what Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Think about what Paul said. He says, I'm dead but living. But yet, the life I'm living now, Jesus Christ shines through me. Does Jesus Christ shine through your life? Remember what Paul said in Philippians 4 and 9? And he talked to him there about so many things that are so important. And he said, for what to think on, whether honest, true, just, and good, pure. Look at verse 9 of Philippians 4. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Now you think about that. And the God of peace shall be with you. Paul says to them, you live as I've lived, and you will be okay. But you know what we're saying? I want you to live better than me. Don't we? I want you to do better than I'm doing. Maybe it's because we don't feel comfortable with our relationship with God. But the kind of sermon our life is preaching. Because many times things we're preaching about money. That's right. We're preaching about convenience. We're preaching about style. We're preaching about what we look like. That's what the image we want to portray. That's right. What is stylish? What is convenient? And how do I look? Is that what's important? Well, really not. What's important to him is preaching the good news. I read the story in time to this preacher this congregation for 20 years. Said, well, not this. Some guy came up, and we've got to tell you his life. And they said, preacher said, you preached here for 20 years. And finally, somebody came up, and we've got to tell you their life. And you preached here. He said, what do you think about that, preacher? He said, well, if God blessed me to preach 20 more, maybe I can get one more. we think about big numbers sometimes. But every soul is important. And what's happened to us over the years, people have left one by one. And we say, well, it's just one. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. What if it's me? Let me tell you what. You always speak the truth to them. Never give them false hope. Somebody living in their bedroom and somebody ask you about this situation. Tell them what the Bible says. Don't worry about the style or how you're going to look. If they're going to be mad at you, what does the Bible say? Tell them. Give them a chance to hear it now. You know, I don't know about you, but I believe this is true. I don't hear it the first time on Judgment Day. And you stand beside me and you say, you know where about you is, well, you all the time, I just wouldn't tell you. I don't need to hear it then. Well, it can't do any good for me then. Okay. I need to know it now. Give me a chance to write in my ship, okay? And get back in the proper channel. You know what I'm saying? When I get off course, you help me get on course. That's right. We need to hear. You know, we heard something the other night. Never in my life have I ever read this in the Bible. We're never reading this. But this night, we're sitting in Isaiah. We heard something in Isaiah 56. And this has been on my mind for much since then. But Isaiah 56, Isaiah's talking about those people that are the watch people, the prophets, the teachers. And he said, you know what he said about them? He said, they are dumb dogs. They cannot bark. I don't ever read that before. I'll probably try to make a lesson out of it. I can. Dumb dogs. Think about it. You know what he's not talking about? You know, it's like a dumb sometimes. It's somebody that's not, or something, maybe a dog that wouldn't be that smart. He's not talking about that. He's talking about a dog that won't bark. A dog that's fine. A watchdog. And he said, that's what the prophets have got to be. That's what they're doing, because he said, they won't warn you about what you need to know about. That's a powerful verse of scripture there. Isaiah 56 and 9. He said, they're dumb dogs. They don't bark. In fact, nothing else. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. You know, like the shepherd would look after the flock. They all look their own way. Everyone that carries out for his gain from his quarter. Now that's sad. We don't need that kind of preaching, do we? We need to hear is who says barking. You know, we need to hear some warnings, don't we? That's right. And you don't need a watchdog out there. Somebody sticks the bait in the house and he's laying there looking at him, playing his tail, do you? But why is that? You say, well, that's the preacher's fault. Well, sure, it's the preacher's fault. But you don't need to encourage the preacher to speak the truth. And some things aren't good. I mean, I'm tickling to the ears. People don't want to hear it. It's always good news for them. Is it? No, it's not. Jesus says, I must preach. He could not fail to preach in all the places he could. And then in Luke 9 and 22, we see him again, this time about sacrifice. He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. Sacrifice. What is sacrifice? Have you ever in all your born days sacrificed? You still on the LSC for that, don't you? No, it's not stylish. It's not convenient, is it? Sacrifice. What is sacrifice? What is sacrifice, by the way? If you have food tonight, tell me you need some help, and I'll reach in my wallet, and I can tell you exactly how much I got. So I give you $20. And I don't even miss it, so I don't. If I really sacrifice anything, I'll tell y'all a story about the man that gave the guy a kidney over his life. I think I have. I met that man. He gave him a kidney. I saw this guy, and he had kidney problems. I know he's going to dialysis, what, 3 times a week. I saw him there in Walmart. And I looked, and I said, "Joey, you look like you're doing good." He said, "Oh, what about the man gave me a kidney?" I said, "Who?" He said, "Man, I go to church with." Can't do enough. How's he doing? He said, "I'm doing fine." He's not doing good. He's doing better, man. So one of the men threw out riding the country, and this guy's got these dip ends. And he says, "I want to stop and see him, you know." So he's a real nice guy, got these dip ends, so I stopped. Knocked on his door, jumped the door, talking to him. First thing he said, "No, you know, we got talking." And the guy said something about, "Well, I should have been kind of laid up, because I gave him a kidney." I said, "George Williams?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "I'll shake your hand." Again. "You gave George a kidney?" "Yeah." "But I was a match." "Mm-hmm." "Had 10 good ones," he says. "So I give him one." I mean, just like that. No big deal. Sacrifice. Takes a little different meaning, don't it? He could have had some problems, it didn't matter. Had a few problems when the operation was over. Kin to him? I told you that. No, he's not kin to him. Oh, there's plenty of people, you'd die if you like that for. I know that. You do what you could for. You'd run in front of a truck or a car or a bullet if you could. There's something in this world you care that much about, I know that. Don't you? What about a stranger? Well, you don't know. Did you sacrifice for them? When you give, do you sacrifice? You know, not which I couldn't belong to the other. They put up, sacrifice too much. You know? Because I got to stay in style. I got to wear these designer clothes. That's why I don't like to go to church. You know, I get depressed when I go there. You shouldn't get depressed. Don't get depressed. What is important in life? Sacrifice is important. You remember that old Bible that talked about sacrifice? You know what they used to bring in there? You didn't believe in Malachi that? They bring in the corn, the bronze. You know what he said in Malachi? He said, "Offer it to your governor. Will he take it? You're going to give the governor an old blind cow or something like that? Is that what you're going to give him? Is that going to be a sacrifice?" I called you up one day and said, "Hey, hey, Alan, I got something I want to give you." "Well, I got a little car. I got a car. Alan, I'm going to give you a car." "Okay." You come over there the wrong time. We jump it off. I mean, what have I really given you? If I sacrifice anything, I just got out of my yard, Alan. You know? I ain't sacrificed a thing. Have I? You know, we talk about sacrifice. Jesus says that he had to die. He said, "I must suffer many things." He was rejected. He was spit upon. My friends, he was slapped. They placed a crown of thorn on his head. Does that mean anything to you? You took the Lord's Supper today. I dare say that probably 95% of us took the Lord's Supper today. Do you remember what you thought about when you took it? That price he paid for me and you. And you know what you did? You ever read 1 Corinthians 11 about that? That's not in the first part talking about the long hair. The second part of 1 Corinthians 11. He talks about the Lord's Supper. "You didn't drink unworthy, you didn't drink damnation to your own soul." That's right. And none of us are worthy. We didn't get a worthy manner. Or the sacrifice he paid for me and you. Was that song saying he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free? But he died alone for you and me. He came to be killed. He came to die. He did. Look at that. That was his father's business he was about, my friend, that he sacrificed. And sometimes we won't even make a phone call. You know that? We won't even call somebody to help. And tell them, we miss you and I love you. Are we having a revival this week? We're not going to spend a minute, are we, of our precious time, because we've gone to the LSC code. So, hopefully we don't belong to that club. There's everything. It ain't about looks, style, or convenience. Sometimes it's going to be inconvenient. You know that? It's not going to be stylish. Sacrifice. Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business. I must preach. And I must suffer many things. And Jesus was specific in Luke 13. In about 33. Jesus talked here about he was, I lost my place here. Okay, Luke 13 and 33. No man that he hath lit light of a candle put it in a secret place, neither on the bush, but on the candlestick, that they may come in and see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thy whole eye is seen, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. And friends, that takes persistence. That's right. Take heed that the light that is in you be not darkness. Luke 11 and 33. I tell you the wrong chapter. I'm sorry. Luke 11 and 33. Friends, if we don't have in our lives light, you know what it says in Matthew 5, you're the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth. If we don't have light in our lives, we have got to be persistent. We can't be up and down. We can't be in and out. We must always remember that. Sometimes we're persistent about it. What is it? Well, what is it? Is it this? Is it that? That we're persistent about how we look. We want to look as good as we can. But we want to have suntan, you know. We want to be sure we're in the right, we got the right style, we got the right clothes. Sometimes we're persistent about it. We're persistent about eating. Uh-oh. You know, we missed the hell. We wonder what was wrong with us. But how persistent are we about the work of the Lord? He said, if we are, he said, our eye is full of darkness, if it's evil. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Friends, what about what is inside of us? Is it darkness or is it light? Does my life, listen carefully, does my life offer hope or disillusionment? What does your life offer? If it's going to offer hope, you have got to be persistent. Going on vacation, what's the first thing you're going to do? Where are we going to be in search? What's important? What's important, friends? What is important? We must be persistent. We cannot give up. We cannot get in. And then we see another story about opportunity. This time it's about Zacchaeus in Luke 19 and 5. Let's begin at verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. So you get the story, you get the picture. Zacchaeus was a short man, he couldn't see him, so he climbed the sycamore tree. And when Jesus came to the place and looked up and saw him, he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Opportunity. You know how the Greeks picture opportunity? It's a woman with one lock of hair that hangs down in front of her face, signifying that when she comes by, you must grab her by that lock of hair, because what she passes by, you can't. How many opportunities did you have? What could have Zacchaeus said? He's going to do this that I must abide at your house. Well, he could have said, well, you know, my house is not clean. I don't have anything prepared. But what do you say? What if Jesus came to your house? Okay, what if he came unannounced? And would you just let him in? If you ever seen that poem about that, would you have to change the TV channel? Would you have to change your clothes? Would you have to put up some magazines that you had lying out, or hide some books that you had been reading? No, Zacchaeus let him come. And he says, I must. And he did, and Zacchaeus led him. But friends, what about our life tonight? As we think about what must means in our life, what does it mean to you? Is it that important? That you have that Easter dress? Is it really? Is it that important that you wear those Madonna clothes? Is it that important that you have that new car? Is it that important that you go on vacation and you forget about God? But friends, what is important? The business we're in. The business you and I are in. It's all about saving souls. It's all about preaching the gospel. It's all about seeking and saving the lost. As Brother McDonald says, at any cost. And that's a good way to put it, isn't it? Whatever the cost is. Because we don't worry about the cost, because we do what? Because we sacrifice. That's right. And you know what else we are? We're letting our light shine because we are persistent. We don't let this darkness grow in us. We don't let this darkness stay in us. But we let the light shine out of our life. And friends, we have got to be persistent. If we're going to let that light shine, you might remember Revelation 3. He talked about the church at Laodicea. He said, you need a coal and you need a hot. He said, you're lukewarm. How would he describe the church you go to? But he described the church you go to as being a church that is on fire for his work. Or would he say the church is cold? Or would he just say the church is lukewarm? How would he describe you or me? How would he describe me tonight about my life? Would he see my list? Would he see the things that I feel about my life that I must have? Would it be about his father's business? Is that your priority? You little preacher, it sure is. That's the first thing in my life. when I wake up in the morning. You know, Brother Billy said a beautiful prayer tonight. So many things he mentioned in prayer tonight that we should be thankful for. He mentioned air. He mentioned food. He mentioned clothing. A lot of things tonight that we should be thankful for. Please don't take it for granted. That's right. Oh, God has blessed us. You talking about blessing? Who is? You remember the story of Job? You remember what Satan told God? He said, you built a hedge around. He talked back to God. He said, you built a hedge around. He said, you just take away that precious in your face, God. That's what Satan told God. If you're going to tell you something tonight, he built a hedge around me and you. There's me anyway. That's right. He has blessed me far, far more than I deserve in any sort of fashion. He has poured out his blessings on me, and I believe he has you too. I could not count my blessings tonight. I know I'd leave some out. But you know what's important? It's people. And Jesus realized that. And of all the things we talked about tonight, I hope you saw that. But all this incorporates right here. Jesus rest, it was about two. It was about me and you. It was about people. That's right. The whole thing comes down to this right here. This Father's business. That's right. And nobody's going to stop him, deter him, or slow him down. He was pushing on. He had a goal to meet. He had things to do. He did it. He went through it. He says, what about me and you? We have things to do too. Let your light shine. Be persistent. Let that light within you shine. As Jesus let his light shine. Remember what Paul said. Those things you've heard and seen and learned in me do. And be able to say the same thing. You live as I live. You live as I live. Yes, my friends, we can change. And that's what the gospel is all about. Of causing people to see the need, and causing people to see the truth, and changing their life. People have changed time and time again. And you can change too. Examine your must list. There may be some things that you want to cross off. I just thought this was important. And it's really not. What's important now? If you're not a member of the Lord's church, it's important tonight to be born again. And if you will enter in the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must be born again. And how can I do that, you might ask? You believe on Jesus Christ. And you say, well, that's very easy. And you confess your belief publicly by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You repent of your sins. You must do that. And you must be baptized. You must be baptized. There is no way around it. There is no other way. Jesus said, I will build my church. You added to his church. If you've gone away, and you've gone astray, and you want to come back, please, you must come back on God's terms, in God's way. You must repent of your sins. You must confess your sins. You ask for prayer. You ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive you. Why not tonight? Why don't you come tonight? Now's the time. Take something as you stand and as we finish.